with the correct amount.
D20 Radio, your gamer's role.
www.d20radio.com. Game on.
Hey, Gamer Nation! Look out below, here comes Episode 7 of Game On, your tabletop gaming podcast from D20 Radio. I'm Brian, or Fiddleback on the forums, and with me, raising the bet you didn't want to make in the first place, is my good friend Andy.
That's right. When life gives you lemons, play a game of Baccarat. I don't know what that means.
What? Life gives
greetings,
you...
Gamer Nation. It is I, Andy, also known as Raven Wing.
Lemons?
Lemons, yes. Baccarat.
Baccarat.
Yes, try it.
Why Baccarat? I don't get... No, whatever. Carry on.
Sure, whatever. Ah, yes. Welcome to yet again another episode of Game On.
Baccarat.
Mm-hmm.
With lemons.
With lemons.
Makes no sense. I don't... That's going to bug me the rest of the night. Whoop. Baccarat. My
cure's done.
God. All right. What are we... What's our topic today?
Our topic today. Lemons, apparently. I don't want to sour anything for anybody. Yeah, here we go.
This has no appeal.
Yeah. zest. Gamer Nation. Wow, what did they put in my iced tea?
Apparently Baccarat.
Oh, look, with lemon. God. Okay, yeah, back on track. There it is. Gamer Nation, today's topic, we are embrokened. No cash, zippo, niet, nada, zilch, zip, nothing. And yet, we still have needs. Urges, if you will. No, not that kind of urge. There must be games, and these games shall be played by us. But how... How can we get games in our financially depleted state? Why? By shopping smart. Shop S-Mart. Or thrift stores. Something of that nature.
This is my boomstick.
Indeed.
Upkeep phase.
Here's what's been going on around the D20 Radio Network. The Order 66 podcast's latest episode features Rodney Thompson, designer and head Sith Lord for Wizards of the Coast Star Wars Saga Edition RPG. Listen in as they field listener questions and talk about the freshly released Clone Wars campaign guide. Hot off the presses, little steaming clones, every last one of them.
Yes, indeed. I must get me a copy of that soon.
Yes, because if you don't get a copy, how am I going to read it?
Funny how that works. The fifth episode of the Holocron went up this past weekend. Join GM Dave and Mostly Joe as they discuss all the news there is about Star Wars, the Old Republic MMO, and Star Wars video games of the past.
And surprisingly, there's a lot more news than you might expect. A whole lot more.
Bunches.
Minnie's Mayhem is live. Really, truly live. Episode 1 went up this past week, and boy, did they nail it. TM Brev and Tenny get you up to speed on Star Wars Miniatures Gaming and discuss some of their favorite pieces of miniatures. Miniature pieces. Never mind. Check them out. Hey, they even talk about me.
Yes, little podcast whore that you are.
Ooh, ooh. It's not like I'm standing out in the corner of iTunes with my legs showing.
Oh, I need a bottle brush to clear the image from my brain. Wow. Meanwhile, the Super Gaming Podcast meets the energy projector in this week's installment of Mostly Joe's Now Weekly Podcast. He's no longer bi-weekly curious.
We did that joke last week.
Oh, well, you know, I thought I'd throw it out there again.
Okay,
just because,
right. you know,
pick it around a little like a partially inflated soccer ball.
Or a lemon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With a baccarat spatula or whatever the hell they call it.
Yeah.
Special guest William Stoddard, author of GURPS. I don't know why I said that way. GURPS Supers is his guest. Whether you know them as blasters, energy projectors, or the nuker, check out Meanwhile for tips and tricks about making them your own.
They shall be mine. Oh. Someday I'll tell you about my blaster from City of Heroes. At length, in great detail. The Small But Vicious podcast has brought out episode number 3. Old School and his substitute Ginger Baron, whom we're sure you'll recognize, talk about Warhammer roleplay in the United States, such as it is. It's different here because, well, we're American. Give it a listen and then hop in the forums and tell them what you think.
So how is it different here from it is there?
It's, they're fewer ewes? Yes.
So not quite as many sheep.
Right. Go with that.
You asked for it, Gamer Nation. Yep. Radio Free Homelet went to D&D Expo 2009 and brought it all home for you. The first part of the expo and new product announcements is live and ready for you to geek out over. Next episode promises more of the same, and we just can't wait to hear it.
That's right. They're doing some good stuff, actually. You got, like, Player Handbook 2 and all
and
kinds of junk.
An entire expo about Dungeons & Dragons.
That's right. That's right.
Or we.
I'm assuming we were being impoverished.
That's, oh, well, yeah. That might have something to
yeah.
do with it.
Yeah, that's what we do, you know. Check out all these fine podcasts on D20 Radio's homepage at www.d20radio.com. Follow the links off the main page, join in on the community forums, and share your thoughts with the other members of Gamer Nation.
Bits and Pieces.
And now, Gamer Nation, the latest and greatest bits and pieces of news and information from around the gaming world.
Small World, a big box game in the style of Ticket to Ride and Mystery of the Abbey, will be the next release from Days of Wonder. Small World is designed by a guy whose name I will never pronounce correctly. Philippe Kiertz.
Is that Philippe or Felipe?
Felipe, Guadalupe.
It's Senor Rupi from Guadalupe. Okay, we'll go with that.
That's all right. That's what we do. God, what was that? That was nothing close to that.
I have no idea. It just, you know.
Yeah, so that guy designed it. That Philippe. And it's a fantasy-themed game similar in play to his Vinci? Winky?
Oh, followed by the updates, blink and a nod.
Yeah. Those are expansions for later.
Yes.
Oh my God. I'm two sentences in and I haven't gotten anywhere.
I know.
Anyway, Winky or Vinci or however you pronounce that, which was released in 1999 by French publisher Descartes. Haha, I learned that one. In Small World, players will be able to control characters from 14 fantasy races, dwarves, giants, orcs, elves, and so forth, while trying to take control of territory and push opponents out of adjacent lands and off the map. Even while dominating opponents, however, you have to keep in mind that your race's civilization is doomed as well, thanks to the passing of time and attacking of neighbors. So be ready to cast aside one tribe while taking the reins of another in order to keep dominating the world. That sounds fairly cool, actually.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know. It's in the style of Ticket to Ride. How could what's?
I don't know. I think they mean the box size is going to be about Ticket to Ride.
Oh,
size.
Okay. That yeah. is so gotcha.
That kind with the thing and the sides and the measurements and the know
stuff.
Yeah,
the bits.
Okay, so I got two paragraphs done. Good.
Yeah, there you go.
Small World is for 2 to 5 players and contains 2 double-sided game boards, with one side being used for each of the different number of possible players. Huh? 2 to 5 double-sided being used for... Wouldn't that mean that there should technically be 3 sides to their 2-sided game board? I don't...
Two
double-sided.
Double-sided.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes sense.
It,
now. I should really read these before I put them in the notes. That would probably help.
Know. That's, proofreading. Who needs it?
Not me. The 14 races come with matching banners and tokens, and the game also includes 20 special power badges to further customize the races, along with mountains, troll lairs, fortresses, holes in the ground, victory coins, a cat, 2 dogs, a banana sundae, and other items.
Badges.
Badges.
You don't need those stinking badges.
Oh, dear.
I had to do it.
I know you did. That's the sad part. Small World, which retails for $50 US or $45 European, is expected to be released... Dollars? Euros. Let me try.
Euros.
Because that doesn't mean European. I mean...
Wow.
Anyway... For some money, you can get it. In April, if you live in Europe, and late April or early May, if you live in places with real money.
With real money. Yeah, not that funny colored stuff that they have everywhere. Of course, the term greenbacks has pretty much gone out the window with the advent of the purple 10 and the orange 5 and the...
Yes.
Strange stuff that they're coming together.
If you do it right, they're different flavors.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
I want sherbet. Yes. Another day, another shuttered game company, or, in this case, gaming magazine, Scry Magazine's final issue will be number 131, the April 2009 edition, ending a 15-year run.
How will I know how much my crappy Yu-Gi-Oh cards are worth?
I don't know. Wow. We can go over that on the next episode, because that's something to ponder for sure.
Okay.
Okay. Well, now that we got that out of the way.
Thanks. I like having these things cleared up ahead of time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A former Scry contributor relayed the information about the magazine's end at the HC Realms message board. F plus W Media sent him a notice that included the following. After much analysis... Wow. Sorry. I stepped on my tongue. I don't know why that happened. After much analysis...
Because you got your foot in your mouth.
I did. So well up until there.
Mm-hmm. Right until you started talking.
Yeah. It's funny how that happens. After much analysis and deliberation, we have determined to cease publication of Scry Magazine. The final issue will be, oddly enough, April 2009 edition, issue 131. Scry also owns GamingReport.com. While word of Scry's closing hasn't yet hit their front page, the Scry subscription link leads to another dreary message. We are no longer accepting subscriptions for this publication. At this time, we do not know when or if they will be restarted. We have no word on how GamingReport.com will be affected by this.
I'm going to guess badly.
Probably.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Well, right along with that is some more grim tidings for comic book-loving gamers. Superhero collectible card game Versus has been given the death sentence by Upper Deck.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Upper Deck has already been through two rounds of layoffs and are embroiled in a major lawsuit over the Yu-Gi-Oh! CCG. So things are not looking happy there either.
Yeah, I've had limited experience with Versus, and one, it's a CCG, and the game just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But anyways, it's unfortunate to see other games being taken off the market.
Yep.
If you're interested in more news of the gaming world, including additional details on these stories and more, be sure to visit www.boardgamenews.com and, for the moment, www.gamingreport.com, and now, robotviking.com for all your gaming news needs.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool site. It's got all kinds of tabletop gaming news and lots of photos.
Excellent. We like photos.
Good stuff.
Say, I'm looking for some sort of abstract strategy game, something with possibly parasitic conflict or bidding and economics, something with majority control and mass marketing, min-maxing that'll make people want to run away in fear and not play anything other than rock, paper, scissors. Have you got anything like that?
What the heck did he just say?
Time for some definitions, Gamer Nation. Get a grip on the lingo with us as we walk you down the aisle of our happy little gaming marriage. And hey, two can live as cheaply as one, provided you know how.
Right. It's a institution.
Yeah, except it's not the kind where they give you the cozy jackets with the long arms.
Ah, I love those.
You gotta bring your own.
Darn. Cheap! Adjective. What Andy is on a date. Oh, wait. Of poor quality or inferior. That's me. In a nutshell.
Well, yeah. Or nut house, take your pick.
That's the next stop.
Thrifty. Noun. Or adjective. Wise economy in the management of money and other resources. Frugality. That is not me. There's no way.
Yeah, the management of money thing, it eludes me to this day.
Well, sir, let's head up to the nosebleed seats and catch the show.
All righty then.
Oh my god, the world's ending, I'm out of money, I have no job, I've been laid off, it's the end of the world, what am I going to do? Let's play a game. Oh, I can't afford to buy any games. I can't afford any games.
Makes it all the much better.
Mm-hmm. Well, not to put too fine a point on it, Gamer Nation, times, they be rough. Being that we're sort of addicted to this hobby thing that we do, this board game, tabletop game thing that we do. We need to figure out how we're going to continue to do that when some of us are without jobs and some of us aren't making enough money to cover the bills and some of us are, you know, in various other states of financial disrepair.
Disrepair. No. Mine's in a fight of... Here we go again. Mm. A state of financial demolition.
There's a little cord, you know, debt cord wrapped around your wallet. And if you ever open it, pow, right
yeah,
there,
it just know. It goes off right in your face. Bang.
It's gone. All right, so here's the deal. We know times are tough. And we know money doesn't go as far as it used to, not by a long stretch. And you still want to play games, and that's cool, because we like playing games. How are you going to do it? Well, hopefully, what you're going to do is budget things carefully, cover your bills, pay your rent, try to live within your means, and if you're lucky, at the end of the month, you have 10 bucks left over. Well, you laugh, but that's about where it's at.
I laugh because that's about twice what I've got left at the end of the month. So, you guys are doing good.
Yeah. So we need some alternatives. We know we cannot afford at this point in time to walk into a game store and buy that shiny new $35, $45, $55 game sitting on the shelf. Doesn't matter how cool it looks, we can't do it. How do we do it then? What are we going to do? Well, we're going to learn a little bit about thrifting games. And by thrifting games, I mean getting the best deal you can for the best game you can without overextending yourself. And we have a number of ways that you can do that. There's a whole sort of subculture within the game purchasing community that's all about obtaining games for less than full retail price. And these are called game thrifters or game thrifting as an activity. And it starts very simply. The first thing you're going to look at is some online resources for obtaining games. And one of the ones that I know Andy is really hot about is eBay.
What is it?
eBay. You ever heard of that before?
I think they had a commercial once.
Yeah, maybe. Could be. Had a commercial.
Yeah. Now, eBay can be used in several different ways. If you're looking to find a deal, you can find some deals on eBay. I have definitely found some very good scores off of eBay. But you can also get taken if you're not careful. They have a lot of things in place to keep you from getting burned on your deal. There's feedback that you can check for the buyers and see how well they've done on other sales. And hopefully when you're looking for this stuff, the seller has got a detailed description of what you're buying, has got pictures of what you're buying, at least one picture. I don't think I've ever bought anything off of eBay that didn't have a picture on it. I've got to know, I've got to have an idea of what it looks like. Even if it's just a general picture that's been pulled off the internet, so long as I can see a picture, I'm good to go.
So are there some particular tips and tricks that you have for finding good deals on games and game stuff off of eBay?
It's a matter of taking the time to sit down and search for it. And when you do your searches, a lot of times I'll come across stuff just by accident. You'll type in one thing and there'll be a bunch of other stuff in there that you have no idea why it's there. And their search engine's kind of a fickle beast, so try a couple of different types of keywords when you do your search and see how many hits that you get that way. But always check everything that's available, but also look at the stuff that's available through Buy It Now, stuff that's available through the online retailer store, through eBay. It's like I said, it's a matter of taking the time and going through it. Don't just buy the first one that you come to. Look through it. Yeah, there might be 10, 15, 20 pages of the same item, but you've got to go through and look at what your starting bid is, how many bids are on it, when it's going to end, how far you think that auction's going to go, and when the auction's over, how much it's going to cost you in shipping to get the item to you.
Yeah, one of my favorite tricks back when I used to shop eBay quite a bit, and I imagine these aren't really super secret strategies and tips that we're sharing with you, Gamer Nation, but one of my favorites was the near miss, what I called the near miss. If you have a word, and most auction titles and descriptions have words in them, there are a lot of people out there in the world who either A, can't spell, or B, can't type.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just kind of sometimes what I would do is just look at the keyboard and think about where's the letter that is most likely to be mistyped, and then try variations of spelling based on that, and you would be surprised how often you come up with something that somebody has, it's just, they're one letter off. Like, maybe they hit the R when they meant to hit the E, and so your HeroClix is actually HeroClix, and there'll be a listing there for it, and because nobody can find it, you'll be able to get that auction for extra cheap.
Right, and that does happen quite a bit, and I've found stuff like that because sometimes I can't spell, and most of the time, no, I can't type, so...
Yeah. You can barely talk.
Stuff like that.
You can barely talk at all.
Yeah, we're going downhill here quick, so...
So eBay is a source. The only real drawback to finding inexpensive, thrifty games on eBay is the fact that everybody knows to look there.
Right.
Virtually any game can be acquired on eBay, and it's now become a matter of can be acquired by somebody with enough money to do it. Because there are certain things on eBay that will go for upwards of $200 or $300, even when the game itself was originally only $20 or $30, just because of the rarity and the out of printedness of the game that you're looking for.
Yeah, and I've seen that happen with items that are still in print and still in stock at your local game store. Some people just get into a frenzy when they get on eBay and they have to continue to bid on things. Yeah. You can go down to your game store and buy something for $39.99, and I've seen that same item sell on eBay for $50 plus shipping, and I'm like, why?
Yeah,
well, it's the same thing. So
what was really ridiculous is if you remember when your store was trying to clearance out Nexus Ops $10 a pop, they were selling on eBay for over $200 a piece.
Yeah, we couldn't sell them in store for $5 or $10, but as soon as we put them up on the internet and said, you know, out of print, everybody went nuts, and we sold 20 copies of those games for no less. I think the cheapest one went for $20, and the most expensive one went for $140 and was shipped to Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really, and it's not that old a game. It's only what, about 3 years, 4 years old now,
at most. At the most, yeah. maybe five. Yeah. But it was lumped in with a group of games that Avalon Hill quit producing, and we just got a good buy on it from our supplier.
Mm-hmm.
We got them for cheap, and we figured, well, we'll just turn around and sell them for cheap. But they sat in the store for like 2 or 3 months, and I think I sold one copy in the store. So we figured, well, we'll just put them on the eBay store. We sold out in 2 weeks.
Yep. So eBay can be a good resource if you can find the near-miss deal, or if you can find, in the case of like miniature games and whatnot, lots that you can buy, say, 20 or 30 figures in a lot. They might be all commons and uncommons, but, people use those to build their base army and then or base squad and then go on top of that, and you got to kind of look around. eBay is not quite such the deal that it used to be back in the early days.
Yeah, it's really become overly saturated, I guess, with buyers, and that's great for eBay, but you don't find the really cool deals that you used to. Now you can still find some good stuff on there, like Shadowrun Duels figures.
Mm-hmm.
I think when they originally released were somewhere in the $15 to $20 price range. And you can go on eBay tonight and look, and you'll find them still in the $15 to $20 price range. However, I found a person who had several of them for sale for $1 each.
Yes, and now
and I got
know why.
Five of them for $1 each, so that was a pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm. Purely in a monetary sense, was that a good deal?
Yes, it was. As far as a gaming deal, it wasn't as good as I had hoped, but I plan to remedy that with some missions and stuff for it.
Right. So, okay. What you need is an alternative to eBay, a low-cost alternative to eBay. And I'm going to tell you something that if you don't go look, you aren't going to believe exists.
Yeah.
This is Goodwill's online auction site. It's called shopgoodwill.com. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Goodwill? Who has games on Goodwill? And then why would they have an auction site online? Well, because it makes money, folks, and that's kind of what everything's about. I know when you go to your local Goodwill, you probably walk in there, you look at the game section, and you say to yourself, I don't need 19 copies of Goodwill, or Trivial Pursuit, excuse me. 19 copies of Trivial Pursuit.
Trivial Pursuit.
Yes, I don't need 5 more copies of Monopoly. I don't need, Connect 4. I don't need, well, that's the reason you've got Trivial Pursuit, Monopoly, and Connect 4 on the shelves in your local Goodwill is because most of the good stuff is now being funneled towards shopgoodwill.com. I will give you an example. Right now, at this very moment as we are doing the podcast, at shopgoodwill.com is West End Games' first run printing of the Star Wars core book for $5.
Yeah, and the only reason I haven't got in there and bid on it already is because I'm broke.
Yeah. $5. Okay, this is accompanied by several other games that are quite good, some of which are hard to find. There's a copy of Bermuda Triangle up there. There's a few 3M bookshelf games up there.
I saw the bookshelf game. That caught my eye.
Mm-hmm. It's not an extensive list, but it's a list that has been gathered from around the country, from the various Goodwills around the country. See, what happens is people sometimes die, boys and girls, and they go to a happy place, one hopes. And not being Egyptians or pharaohs, they don't get to take it with them. So a lot of games that people acquired in the 60s and 70s and 80s are being donated to organizations like Goodwill. And Goodwill culls through these, pulls out what they think are going to be good ones, and puts them up on the auction site. So you can find a variety of different things, things that have been long out of print, things that are hard to find, and even harder once you do find them to buy them for anything like a reasonable price at their online auction site. It's well worth checking out. You don't know what you might find on any given day, and it's kind of hard to look for specifics, but there's something there that may interest you. I can just about guarantee that.
Oh. There was also a copy of Scotland Yard on there for like $5.
Awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Because that's getting harder to find, too.
It is. It's becoming difficult. And that's a good game, too.
Yeah, very good game. The third option I want to talk about is not really an online option. You're not going to buy it online, but you will probably find it online. This one takes a little more effort, and that is Craigslist.com. The reason this takes more effort is because in their for sale section for whatever your local area is, the board games are going to be lumped in with the video games as well. And you will often find people, and you've got to really search through the list to find it, but you will often find people that are having they've got like, a small group of like 3 or 4 games they want to get rid of, usually for like a couple bucks a piece. You'll have to sift through everybody selling empty Wii boxes and empty 360 boxes and, that kind of stuff. But they are in there if you take the time to look. Now, we live in a fairly small local area, and the other day when I looked through it, there were, 5 or 6 different games or people selling games that were available. And I don't think any one of them was selling their games for more than about $2 a pop. So it's an option. It takes effort to do it, though. It's not just going to fall out of the sky and land in your lap.
Yeah, it's usually something bad when that happens. So, yeah. Meteorites and things.
Mm-hmm. The next option we want to talk about are some real-world options, as I like to call them. In other words, you're going to have to get out of your chair and, maybe drive somewhere and, maybe
yes.
Talk to real people. And
you'll have to leave the man cave and communicate with humans.
No! Oh, okay. All right, so the obvious first ones are stores like Goodwill's Physical Store, the Salvation Army, St. Vincent de Paul.
Anything like that that has that you can take used items to sell.
Any place that you will unload that avocado couch on, I'll bet you can find some board games in it.
In the avocado couch, no less.
Yes.
If you look under the cushions of the avocado couch, there's an original copy of Risk hiding in there.
In amongst the dried Cheerios and the, you know, the mashed potato chips and the you know, the various little pieces of dog fur and whatever else. The hairball the cat coughed up 10 years ago. The loose sock you never found again. The baby shoe that disappeared from your toddler. You know, it's all in there. Anyway, so you go like St. Vincent de Paul's, Goodwill, Salvation Army, these donation places, you will find games on the shelves. My local area, I've been more lucky with St. Vincent de Paul's than I have with Goodwill or Salvation Army for a couple of reasons. One, hardly anybody ever thinks of St. Vincent de Paul's around here.
Yeah.
Two, Goodwill, because they started their online auction site, have suddenly gotten it into their heads that their games are worth something. So the games that are for sale in their physical store here about 10, 12 months ago shot up in price. Now, of course, it's Goodwill, so it didn't shoot up a lot in price, but it's now like $6 to get the original edition of Trivial Pursuit at Goodwill as opposed to $3 or $4 at St. Vincent de Paul's. And they're both in not that I'm buying Trivial Pursuit, by the way. That's not, no.
You know you want to play it.
I don't want to play it. Salvation Army is another good source on occasion. Ours tends to be stocked a little oddly. But depending on the place in which you live, you can have some really amazing success out of these thrift stores. I know, for example, that in Portland, Oregon, there's a group of probably about a dozen thrifters that chase themselves around the Portland metro area and generally every week pull out probably a dozen excellent games of various types and styles. And I'm not talking just like Candyland and Life and all that. I'm talking like actual, genuine, I'm a board game geek collectible kind of games. And they get them for amazingly good prices. In most cases, I think they average around $5 to $6 a pop. And they will pull out all kinds of neat things, like copies of Tigris and Euphrates, copies of Puerto Rico and Lord of the Rings and Power Grid and all kinds of, just a huge variety. Old 3M games, old Avalon Hill war games, SPI war games, anything you can think of, they seem to find on a fairly regular basis up in Portland. Down here, I find a good game about once every 4 weeks or so. And my definition of good is games that interest me and I want to play. So there you go. Andy, have you done a lot of thrifting at the thrift stores and whatnot?
I have not. It just comes down to one of those things that I am a very spontaneous sort of get, and I wind up, you know, either shopping on eBay or at the local game store or something like that. But I know that you and a couple other people have come across some very good finds at the thrift stores, and I have looked a couple times. But as money gets tighter, I will probably be looking more often now. So
yeah, and I would say probably about 15 or 20 of the games I own somewhere in that area have come straight out of thrift stores.
Yeah, well, I think the latest one that you got and the one that impressed me was your copy of HeroQuest.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was quite good actually.
And I mean, in fact, last week I remember looking at that, and when I went home, I got on eBay and was looking for HeroQuest, and I found some that were, you know, unopened, unpunched, you know, still new in the box, but they were going for some pretty hefty coin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the starting bids were fine, you know, you're $2, $3, $4. The ending bids, I saw one of them go for $175.
Yeah, and I think I got that one for $6.
Yeah.
Something
and
like
I
that.
Think it's missing, what, one piece?
Yeah, yeah, it's missing one goblin, I think.
Yeah. It's, you know, and so the game is still very playable in that condition. I mean,
yep.
you can put a cardboard counter out there for that one missing goblin. And that's a good game to play too, but it's one of those games that's becoming harder to find, and as soon as it goes up on eBay and they say out of print, hard to find, you know, this is the last one that's, you know, ever produced, people go into a frenzy over it, and so it makes it harder to find those deals. They're still there, but you've got to look.
Yeah. And that's really what it comes to. A little later on we'll give you some tips on how to kind of go about these things and you know, things to do, things not to do, that kind of stuff. But yeah, persistence pays off, definitely. There are other kinds of thrift stores as well besides the St. Vincent's and the Goodwills and the Salvation Armies. The American Cancer Society generally runs a thrift store, at least one, in a given area, somewhere nearby. They're a reasonable source to check out. I don't want to sound stereotypical or prejudiced or anything, but they tend to have a much different selection of things, game-wise, than you might find elsewhere. I mean, they still have, like, boxes of Trivial Pursuit, but they'll have, like, 15 or 20 boxes when everybody else will have 5 or 6. I don't know why that is. Generally, they don't hit very far up, at least my local store, doesn't hit very far up the gaming chain. It tends to be more of the low-end stuff. You're not going to find a lot of children's games there, whereas you might find a bunch at, like, St. Vincent's or Goodwill's. But there's still a place you can check out. I have pulled a couple of good games out of there, as has another friend of mine. You've got there's a chain of thrift stores called Tuesday Morning. The reason they're called Tuesday Morning is because that's when they get their shipments in. Isn't that clever?
Yes.
Yeah, but you can often find oddball games at the Tuesday Morning stores if there's one in your area that you might not find anywhere else. For example, I've got a World Cup version of Lego Soccer that I found at the local Tuesday Morning that I hadn't seen anywhere else. There's some... They tend to have a lot of mid-tier kind of games. They don't have, like, Life or Monopoly, and they don't have, like, Puerto Rico or Power Grid or stuff like that, but they'll have things in the middle that can be just as fun and just as entertaining. But it's an uneven mix. You won't really be able to guarantee that a certain kind of game or a certain title will be there or anything like that. You just kind of have to go in and see what they've got.
And that's something to realize, that when you're looking for these games... it's not like you can go in and expect there to be this vast selection like if you're going into a game store. You need to keep in mind that it's going to be spotty, it's going to be hit and miss, and they may not be in perfect pristine condition. The boxes might be crinkled or creased or something, but the majority of them you're going to find, all the contents will be with them, and if they're not, it'll be marked as such.
Right.
But you're gonna get a substantial savings on these, so that's what you're looking for.
Right. And there are a number of other what I'm going to call clearance chains that you can check out. I don't have a whole list of them all, and it varies from area to area as to what's available to you. But look for these clearance stores and at least take a couple of tours through them just to see if they even carry games at all. That can be another valuable resource.
Yeah, some of the... There's a couple near us, but one's over by Tuesday Mornings, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I haven't seen too much in the way of games there, but I've been able to find bits and pieces that I can use in my other games.
Right.
They'll have small-scale metal cars, you know, larger than Hot Wheels, that will fit in with some of my other miniatures games. You know, you can pick those up for a buck.
Mm-hmm.
So there's things out there that you can find that will tie in with your gaming needs that you can find at these places for not a lot of money.
Right. Our third option for real world sources, I can talk really, is keeping an eye on your local classified ads and looking for yard sales, garage sales, things like that. Often you will find, and this seems to apply most to either families with small children about the third or fourth grade, or families which the adults have clearly been retired for a number of years, and unfortunately, maybe, I sure don't mean to sound kind of mercenary about this, or recommend that you hunt things down this way, but as it works out, it's, you know, maybe somebody's passed away and they're having a yard sale to clear out the collected stuff that this person has had over the years and whatnot. So you will either find a lot of children's games, or you will find a lot of older games that are long out of print and most people have forgotten about.
Yeah, and it's really kind of a... You kind of sound like a ghoul looking for this deal. An estate sale is something that you'll find a lot of that stuff at. And a lot of the times, people are just looking to get rid of this stuff, so they'll sell it very cheaply.
Yeah. Half of the time, it's like somebody was into the hobby, and their spouse wasn't. So the spouse doesn't know what they've got. And yes, you can tell them what they've got. You can help them out. You can offer to pay more. Whatever you feel like doing, whatever you feel obligated to do, that's fine. But most of the time, they just want the stuff gone. And so you'll find games I've got an edition of the Stocks and Bonds game from 3M, bookshelf game, that by rights should go for somewhere around, $10 or $15 in the secondary market. And I found it sitting at somebody's garage sale, and I said, hey, you know what you got here? And I told them about it, and they were like, I don't really care. Just get it out of here. And I gave them 50 cents for it, and they were perfectly happy with that.
Yeah, and sometimes that's just what it comes down to. They're looking to get rid of the clutter, get rid of the stuff that nobody uses, nobody looks at, nobody has looked at for 10 or 12 years. They want it gone. That's where you can get a really good deal on some of that stuff.
So anyway, keep an eye on your local paper. Sometimes you'll hear about, you know, community-wide yard sales and that kind of stuff over the radio or the TV and their community announcements and whatnot. And those are always good things to check out because you get a lot of opportunity to check over a huge number of sources all in one place. So yeah, keep your eye out for those, and look for the value there. We want to go in now to kind of talking about what's a good idea and what's a bad idea when you're thrifting, or things to do and things not to do. The first tip is if you're into this to save the money and still get kind of work on your gaming collection and get some new games to play and that kind of stuff, the first thing to remember is that 30 games at $2 cost just as much as one game at $60.
Indeed. Yeah. Especially if it's all the same game.
Now, if you're okay with spending $60 on some old games, hey, great. That's good for you. But because we're going at this from the premise that we don't have a lot of that kind of money to spend, and we should probably be working on controlling our spending, buying that many at a discount is not doing you any favors. You know, try to limit yourself to like maybe one or two an outing. And that way you have time not only to accrue more free cash, but you also have time to play what you've picked up. Because the other don't buy a game that you're never going to be able to play.
Yeah.
I don't care how cool it looks. I don't care what it's got. If you're never going to get a chance to play it, you probably ought not to be buying it.
Wow, I've got a few of those.
Yeah. It's always a good idea to check the box for parts. I know you will go into Goodwill and you will find boxes taped shut. And nearby will be a sign that says, please do not open the boxes. I'm actually going to recommend that you ignore that sign. Because your 50-cent game with half the parts missing is not going to make you happy. I don't care what you spent on it. Unless, of course, you've gotten two that have half the parts missing, and they're both missing the opposite half of parts. And then you've got a game for a dollar.
Right.
But yeah, check the boxes.
Yeah, and something that goes to the online sources, especially on eBay, and there have been some eBay horror stories, as much as I love eBay.
Yep.
Read the description. If it doesn't have a good description, email the person who is hosting the auction. Find out exactly what you're getting. A couple years back, when the PlayStation 3 first came out, somebody sold a PlayStation 3 box for $500.
That's the best box ever.
Yes, that box is gold-plated and will shield you from radiation, nuclear fallout, wyverns, zombies, whatever.
It will not shield you from wife aggro when she finds out what you did with her $500.
No, and there's no escaping that one. So you're pretty much dead.
Yeah. Always read descriptions. Always make sure you understand what the description is telling you.
Yeah, and read it a couple of times. Put it on your watch list. Come back to it. Look at it. Ignore it. Come back to it. Look at it. Read it again. I've done that before and caught myself almost buying something that wasn't what I was looking for or had a ridiculous shipping cost to it. You know, if you get a great game for a dollar, but you got to pay $75 in shipping because it's coming from Uruguay, you've lost out.
Those doggone Uruguayan eBayers.
I know. They're terrible.
Yeah. Another good thing to do is research. Research, 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 research. Know what it is you're going to be getting. If that means that you have to figure out how to search Board Game Geek from the middle of a thrift store, then maybe that's what you'd better do. Because if you spend a buck to get a bad game, that's not going to make you happy either. And all you're going to do is turn around and go back and say, all right, I'm going to buy another game. And now you're over budget. Great. There is an app available that works on most cell phones from, and I think the gentleman's name is Matthew Marquand on Board Game Geek. You'll have to search for him and look him up and all that. But he does have an app that you can download to your phone that will do a lightweight search of Board Game Geek's database on any given game title. It'll tell you the ratings, number of users who have rated it, and I believe it'll throw up some comments from people who have actually played the game.
Excellent. I'm going to have to download that.
Yeah, it's a good little thing to have if you're not sure about what you've got or what you're looking for or looking at. It's pretty good for giving you a heads up on whether it might be a good game or not a good game. But that doesn't preclude the ability to actually sit down at your computer and search through Board Game Geek, look at games that interest you, and try to find information about those titles that you're interested in that you can carry around in your head so that when you're looking at the shelves in your thrift store or whatever, you know what you've got when you see it. Recommendation number whatever we're on. Yeah. Do not buy a game that looks as if it has been water damaged on the outside of the box. As much as you might wish to believe that the insides are pristine and undamaged in any way, shape, or form, chances are they are not. I would say 90% of the time you'll discover that they are not. And 90% of the 90%, you will also discover that there is some mold inside that box. Because it's just the way it works. They like damp and dark, and there you go. So, try not to buy anything that has any obvious water damage on the outside. Same goes for anything that looks like it might be strangely singed in some way. These sound dumb. These sound like, oh man, this is the dumbest advice ever. You're telling us not to buy things that are wet or burned. Yeah, but you know what? There are horror stories of people who have.
Yeah.
Because they ignored what was on the outside of the box, thinking the inside was just great. If your game has lots of plastic bits, and there's anything like smoke damage or scorched marks on the outside of the box, as dumb as it sounds, and as much as you wouldn't believe they'd put it on the shelf, they will, and your plastic bits inside will be melted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's strange to think about some of the things that get put on a shelf, even in these thrift stores. the people that go through and look at these games sometimes don't go through and look at them very closely. They'll, you know, oh, the box is taped up, it must be good, throw it on the shelf, there's nothing in it.
Yeah.
You know, do that for yourself. Make sure you know what you're getting.
Yeah. And here's another fun little tip for you. It helps to have some idea of how much the game weighs. And I'll tell you why. On more than one occasion, a thrifter has picked up a box that seemed as if it might be a little heavy and taken it home to discover that inside the box are 5 or 6 expansions for the game itself.
Yeah.
Or that there's a totally different game inside the box. Or that there's silverware inside the box. It's happened. It's weird. But if you pick up a box and it seems as if it's too light or too heavy, be aware that you may or may not have what you think you have in the box. Most notably, somebody, I can't remember exactly who it was, somebody picked up, I think it was a Ticket to Ride, that had Ticket to Ride Marklin, Ticket to Ride, what's the other one? Help me. I'm lost again. Ticket to Ride Europe?
Europe.
Is that the, yeah, Europe. Had the boards and the cards and all the rules and everything for those inside the basic Ticket to Ride box. Somebody had consolidated it, and then it had been sent out to, you know, Goodwill or wherever.
Oh, man.
Yeah. $2.
Yeah.
He was crowing about that.
Yeah, that's a $120 fine for $2.
Uh-huh. If you can possibly avoid it, try not to buy your games from places that have very disorganized shelves, because I can virtually guarantee that all the pieces will not be in the box. Or you'll have pieces from the wrong game in the box. And unless you're very good at identifying which edition of Sorry Pawns you're looking at versus which edition of aggravation markers you're looking at, and then trying to figure out what other box those pieces might be in, yeah, it's not worth the effort. So, yeah, if the place doesn't at least make some sort of attempt at keeping the shelves tidy, you can probably just pass on it. Like, our local Salvation Army is notorious for just having shelves of games that look like they've turned a little cyclone loose in there. You'll find like, Monopoly money stuck in Wetsy Betsy's head and, you know, all kinds of, it's all over the place. It's just bad. So, yeah, try to buy from a place that at least looks like they put some effort into getting things onto the shelf where they belong.
Yeah, and again, always know what you're getting, because in that same respect, the people that put this stuff on the shelf 9 times out of 10 are not going to have any idea what this is, what game it is, what pieces should be in it, and, you know, why it needs to be, you know, put right in the same corresponding box.
Yeah. Just assume that whoever you're dealing with at your local store has no idea what a board game is, how to play one, what a die might be, or anything like that. Just assume they're, by and large, clueless, unless you know otherwise. And so there's no telling what you're going to get in a box. As our kind of our final tip here, the recommendation is going to be, and I speak from personal experience on this one, do not buy more games than you have storage space for.
Well, why do you bring that up?
Don't do it. Don't do it. Because what happens is you're going to end up with games piled all over your floor and stacked up in corners. And they're not going to fare very well. And chances are you probably won't be in a position where you can afford to add more shelving or storage space or anything like that. So don't let your collection go out of control. Use moderation. Use some self-control.
Yeah, something neither of us has.
Try not to spend the rent money. That kind of stuff. You know, think about what you're doing, obviously. That's the one that makes the most sense. So, be persistent in your searches. Don't give up on a spot just because you went into it once and it didn't have anything. Go back to it again. Keep checking. You will find deals. You will find bargains. You will find great games to play, both old and new. And if you kind of take our advice a little bit and go through things carefully and think about what you're doing, you will come up with some excellent games for very, very reasonable prices. In fact, you might even almost call them a steal.
On the table.
Andy, oh Andy, oh Andy, Andy, Andy. Oh Andy.
Yes?
Oh Andy. What did we manage to play this week?
Well, not a lot.
Yeah.
One bargain I did manage to pick up was a copy of the Windows version of the latest release of Shadowrun, which came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I picked up a brand new sealed, unopened copy of it for a buck.
You went to Circuit City, didn't you?
No, actually, I got this one off of eBay.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like a dollar and then, you know, $4 shipping. So, you know, $5 for what was originally a $50 or $60 game.
Cool.
So
I'll have to borrow that.
Not too bad.
I'll have to borrow that from you at some point.
Yeah. It's interesting. It throws a nice twist on the first-person shooter type of game. There's some interesting weapons and some gadgets. There's some cool magic involved in it. It's not near the role-playing game. Well, it's not any kind of role-playing game, actually, but it's I had hoped for a new role-playing game, but it's primarily a first-person shooter. But it is a neat twist on the genre.
Cool. Jake and I, and then subsequently you and I, got to play Street Soccer.
Yeah, that was a neat little game.
Yeah. It's five-a-side soccer, or football for you European people. For you Euro people. Basically, you've got a small playing field and five guys, which you position around the playing field. You roll a dice that tells you how far you can move and kick the ball. And just like in real soccer, you try to make a goal on your opponent. And in spite of the perceived loathing of soccer in America, this is actually a very fun game, one that I enjoy quite a lot.
Yeah, it's actually a nice little game, and it's not overly complicated. There's not a lot of mechanics to it. The mechanics are fairly simple. And the gameplay goes back and forth very fluidly. So
yeah, it's a fun game. It takes maybe 25-30 minutes to play, and it, you know, it's just quick and fun, and a little bit strategic, and a little bit kind of random, and it enjoyable no matter which way you approach it. Really,
yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, and now if I'd won against you, I'd be even happier with it.
Well, we didn't quite play it the way it was supposed to be played, but yeah,
right.
Close.
Yeah.
Yes, I won 5-1. So
yeah, that's okay. I still beat Jake 8-1. And Jake listens to our podcast now, by the way.
Oh, does he?
Yeah,
good.
He subscribes, good. So I get to mock him even further than I do in
normal everyday
life.
Oh, that's great. Because, yeah. You know, one of these days we'll get him up to speed. So.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else you got?
Well, despite my financial difficulties, I managed to pick up a set of rules for a game called The Uncharted Seas.
The Uncharted Seas. Tell me all about it.
All about it. This is a fantasy-based naval combat game. Now, this is not to say that you dress up as an elf and run up and stick your finger in your friend's belly button.
Wait. Wait, I'm confused. I thought that was the point.
Well, you know, in some places it is. It does. It does, however, have elves in it, along with dwarves and orcs and humans and several other races.
Dragons.
This has been
dragons.
Yeah.
Dragons.
This has been likened to the Man of War game. Put out some years ago by Games Workshop. And a lot of people have given it some really good reviews. couple of people that I know that used to be down here locally that have moved away, I've been talking to through email, have really enjoyed this game. If you check out their website, it's spartangames.co.uk. They have pictures up there of their miniatures, and these are some really nice miniatures. They're made of resin and white metal. It's played at 1/600th scale, so the ships are a little bit small, but it's nice. A lot of detail to them. The rules are fast. They're fluid. They're not overly complicated. And there's just enough little extra bits of magic and things thrown in there to really make it an interesting game.
I just love the fact, that's what jazzed me about the game. I just love the fact that the dwarves are sailing in ironclads.
Ironclads. As soon as I saw the dwarves, I was like, I have to play this game.
Oh, yeah.
I've always thought the ironclads from the Civil War era was just the coolest thing ever. You know, just a low draft ship with armored sides and lots of cannons. It just looks like a lot of fun. It's got rules for ramming. It's got rules for boarding actions. The range increments are very simple to figure out. Depending on your range, is how many cannons you can bring to bear. Number of hits. If you get a number of hits equal to or greater than the ship's damage rating, it incurs a hit. If you exceed its critical rating, it goes to a critical rating chart. You can have fires, you can have crew die, you can have your rudder jam, you can take a hit on the bridge. Just all kinds of neat stuff can go wrong when you get a critical hit. But it's from what I've read through the rules book, it looks like a very entertaining little game that at this point I recommend. I have not played it yet, but what I have read looks very interesting.
I hate it when my rudder jams.
Yeah.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's... Oh, end of the show. How did that happen? How? Why must the world be so cruel?
Gamer Nation, we'd like to ask a favor of you. If you listen to us on iTunes or through iTunes or have access to, you guessed it, iTunes, why not head on over there and give us a brief review and a rating? You don't even have to pretend to like us. Just be honest and tell the rest of the iTunes using world what you think of us and our show. The more ratings we have, the easier it will be for people to find us. And with your reviews, they'll know just how cool you think we are. So head on over, click a few stars, type a few words. It's all so easy.
Indeed it is. Feedburner seems to have healed itself. For now.
Has it stopped hemorrhaging our ratings?
I think so. I'm not entirely certain. We're averaging about 70 subscribers or so for the week. So thanks, Gamer Nation. Let's keep those numbers growing.
Finally, remember, only you can prevent forest fires.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only you can prevent massive eye gouging.
Yes. If you'd like to contact us, you can write to us at gameon@d20radio.com. You can also log on to the D20 Radio forums at d20radio.com and leave us messages there. We'd love to hear from you.
So until next time, Gamer Nation, game on!
This podcast is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. All specific names, titles, or products mentioned are copyrighted by the respective rights holders. Some sounds and music are provided courtesy of Soundsnap.com and Freesound.org. Reboot is copyrighted Alliance Entertainment. All original content of this podcast and its related website are intellectual property of Game On and D20 Radio.
D20 Radio, your gamer's role.
www.d20radio.com.
Yep. And, yeah. I'm just going to sit here because I don't know what I'm talking about.
Right okay. Now. Well, we can edit it out and make us look like geniuses.
I don't know what I'm doing. We'll put this at the end of the show.
I'm trying not to shoot iced tea out my nose.
It's a double squirter, boys.
There she blows. It's Moby Andy.
Yeah.